You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Yes, indeed, and beautiful morning, actually. It's going to be pretty much the same as it was yesterday, weather-wise.
Yes, good Thursday morning to you. Coming up in about a half hour, we'll check in with Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, find out his take on the Supreme Court discussions on the tariffs. All that's coming up in just a moment, but first, it's time for weather.
Madison, Wisconsin weather.
Okay. John and Gordy Singers there. 29 degrees this morning. High today in the mid-50s with a mix of sunshine and some clouds. Looking good downtown right now.
Yep.
Seeing some sunshine to start the day. John Peterson, Gordy Young, and Dominic Lee with you in the producer booth. Dom, how are you this morning? You're sick, aren't you? You're a little under the weather.
A little under the weather, yeah. But, you know, that's not going to make me want to quit this show. This is too important.
Really?
It is.
Oh, that's good.
It is, yes.
Thanks for hanging
in there.
I know
that you're not going to quit. You know, I just want to pick up on something that Savannah Tamayo Olson was talking about, the data centers, you know.
Right.
One of the things about the data centers is it's going to cost a lot for energy and pumping energy into those data centers.
Right.
And it could raise the cost of energy costs for the communities that house these data centers. And I think that somewhere along the way, you know, they always offer tax incentives for these companies to come in and do their
right.
thing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
Why?
No, they pay for all the energy costs. They do not get the tax incentives for any of that stuff. The costs come down for the people in that community who still have to pay electricity, pay for electricity. This is how it should be. And I know that, you know, it could create jobs in the area. Great. Fantastic. But you pay for the energy costs.
Mm-hmm.
And plus those energy data centers are probably going to displace a lot of workers. So
okay. We got a couple of calls. Let's go to Catherine here this morning. Good morning, Catherine.
Well, I totally agree with you on the data centers. I'm concerned. Don't you see the dystopian future of nothing but flat and then high rises and a dark sky and it's raining all the time? I know I'm thinking of a movie, but
yeah.
Data centers, man. And if it's raising prices,
it's impossible to imagine that they would let that happen. Again, I know there's tax incentives with all of these projects, bringing new companies in that are going to employ a lot of people, but you really have to somehow rein this in. We can't do this. We can't do it.
You got to figure it out first. Plan ahead a little bit. But data, you know, that's the thing. That's what we're all made of now. But here's the thing I wanted to say. I don't know if I'm going to articulate this well, but I did my ancestry. This is about immigration, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did my ancestry. My father's parents were both British, period. They immigrated here. My father's parents immigrated here. And they did it, by the way, with a little help from the federales, because my grandfather was in the Air Corps.
Mm.
And part of the original Army Air Corps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted him, and they gave him a false birth certificate, made it sound like he was born in Connecticut.
Kid you
not. Beyond that, I asked my dad one day, I said, did my ancestry, did you know what your dad's dad, your grandfather did? And I know the answer because I did the ancestry. So he said, not much, because he was a servant to the queen or to the, you know, to royalty.
Sure.
He was a manservant. He was a, what do you call him? A footman.
Oh, okay.
So his feeling was that he wasn't that much, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were part of the service industry in that family. So his kid, my grandfather, said, F that, I'm going to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So not all immigrants are different color.
Right.
They are just as valuable, however. Right? I'm not articulating as well. I knew I wouldn't. But
you've done a good job. It sounds like you're telling one of the episodes of Downton Abbey. So it sounds like to me. It happened all the time.
That's all I wanted to do.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I love a good Downton Abbey reference.
Okay. I was forced to watch that, so now I know about it. I enjoyed it.
So did I.
Yeah,
did you see the movies?
I saw the first one too. I haven't seen the last one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I bet. How could you follow up, Catherine? CJ.
Oh, I bet CJ was a big Downton Abbey fan.
Yeah,
too,
I bet he
right?
was. Yeah.
Good morning, CJ.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good. I'm having a great day knowing that the tariffs are a tax, and you guys went along with that like nothing happened.
Well, you know, bringing $20 trillion to America is a good thing.
It's your money. It's your money. The Supreme Court just confirmed that all of that money that he brags about bringing into this country on tariffs is actually our tax dollars. You do know that. The Supreme Court argued it yesterday.
Well, yeah. Your side argued that.
No. The Supreme Court justices did. But I want you to listen because we have Jim Santel coming in, and I've got clips from the justices, their own comments, okay? So, check it out. All right.
No, I can't wait for the decision on that, but I think bringing companies back to America is a good thing. Did you hear it's 27 degrees out? Brittany Merlot said, oh, my gosh, I got to go to Florida. But yeah. They actually elected a socialist for mayor of New York.
Sure.
Do you know what Democratic socialist platform is, gentlemen?
No, what is that?
Okay, well, here's the Democrat Socialists of America's platform. Abolish mandatory minimums and cash bail. Establish universal rent control. Greatly reduce U.S. military budget, amnesty for all immigrants, full voting rights for non-citizens, national popular vote for president. Mm-hmm. How do you like that? That means your vote won't matter squat.
No, it actually does matter because I disagree with a few of those points. But anyway, you know. We don't want foreigners, electing politicians in this country. Okay,
right.
I mean, that's just, All right, I don't know about where you got those talking points for the Socialist Party of America, but that's fine. It's democratic socialism,
democratic
by the way,
socialism.
Not just pure socialism.
Yeah.
All right.
And, coming in as a new mayor, he's got a lot of ideas.
He does.
And a lot of them are great. A lot of them are not going to get passed right away. Or even, in a year or two. It takes time.
Remember, it's like a two-party system, right?
Yes.
I mean, the megas came in, and they're doing whatever they want, and they're shoving their agenda down our throats.
Right.
When the Democrats come in, they take into consideration both parties.
Right. They're doing it for everybody.
Yeah. In fact, that's what Biden did with all these programs that are creating so many jobs across the country. Now, let's get into something where the oligarchs want to take control of everything. All right? And this is... I keep reporting these things, and I'm scaring the daylights out of myself, and I think everybody listening.
Well, what are you talking about?
The leader of the secretive organization, the Rockbridge Network, Chris Buzkirk, put tech elites at the center of power in Trump's Washington. Now, he's responsible for helping with that.
What's this called?
The Rockbridge Network.
Network.
His theory is... An aristocracy is needed to move the country forward. The Rockbridge Network aims to go beyond Trump with no websites and no public face entity. Nothing. It has assembled pollsters, data crunchers, online advertisers, and even a documentary film arm. Wow.
And well,
it's gearing up for the midterms and the 28 presidential election, pushing Vance as the nominee because Vance is all part of this oligarch organization. Chris Buzkirk co-founded 1789 Capital. a firm they call Patriotic Capitalism with Trump Jr. as a partner. Well, what is that? A coincidence.
That's cool.
The pair launched Executive Branch, a $500,000 a head membership club for Trump supporting business leaders. Buskirk is credited with recognizing that billionaires will no longer feel at home in the Democratic Party. With no kidding. And he was right on that one. Buskirk is ushering in the next chapter of American exceptionalism with companies tied to anti-woke politics, Trump's agenda that include building AI factories for war. All right. This is their agenda. I'm just, you know, this is an article picked up someplace. Let's see here. He owns a media company, Last Country Incorporated. They have an entertainment arm, and it's founded by Tucker Carlson.
Oh, good.
Get this. He also owns, Buskirk, owns Grab a Gun, an online gun marketplace.
Grab a Gun.
Yes. Enhanced Games, which allows athletes to take performance-enhancing drugs, and a startup making AI factories for defense. The bottom line, Buskirk wants to shape the country's future government with a lasting political power of oligarchs. That's the whole idea. That's the plan. But they, you know, this isn't just some outside group. These guys have ties to the administration. They put in place all of these oligarchs that are in there now, and they're part of it, and this is their network. They think they can do a better job in controlling the populace, us. Mm-hmm. They think they can help us more than anything. And I'll tell you what, if what's happening now is help, I can't imagine what it'd be like when they're in complete power.
So it's a secret organization, but now we know about it. And we can keep an eye on it. And they've got J.D. Vance and Don Jr. in their corner.
It's secretive in the way that they're not going to get out there and be in the public eye.
Yeah.
So they're going to work in the background.
Great.
So, but it is a known entity, the Rockbridge Network. Watch out for it.
Okay. We got a couple of minutes here.
Let's go back
to the phones. Charles is on the line. Good morning, Charles.
Hey, good morning, John and Gordy. I swear these people talk out of both sides.
Yeah.
Of their mouths. What is it? Are immigrants already voting and they're not supposed to be voting? Or is that part of the new platform since Mondami won? Which one is it, CJ? Mm-hmm. He comes up with something every single day. He comes up with all these numbers, and Maggie Dawn had to get on them yesterday because he started talking about a bunch of numbers. And where is your proof?
Yeah.
Where can I go and look this information up? Outside of you just screaming it every day.
That's true, yeah.
Immigrants, they're either voting or they're not voting. Which one is it?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And obviously we can't have immigrants just coming into the country and voting. We just can't do it. So that doesn't make any sense at all. And again, it is democratic socialist. Mm-hmm. It is not just socialist. I mean, there are differences in all of this stuff.
Well, and as you brought up yesterday, Milwaukee's had a socialist mayor.
Yeah, and they've done fantastic work that has actually created policy all across the country.
Mm-hmm. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll check in with Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney at law, and find out about those Supreme Court discussions and what's ahead in that arena. Coming back with more of John and Gordy on a Thursday, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy, the resistance, and Dom at the controls.
It is 7:23. Weather today looks pretty nice, but it's cold this morning. 29 degrees, highs in the mid-50s. I want to remind you, you can sign up for the WMDX newsletter. It's easy to do. Just go to WMDXradio.com. That's WMDXradio.com. And sign up for the newsletter. It comes out once a week on Thursdays today.
So all right.
Sign up.
Sounds good. And on the subject of billionaires taking over our country, thinking they can do it better, which it isn't working out right now. you've heard of Palantir, right? I mean, they're the they're the software.
Oh,
that is actually, you know, taking all this data and stealing all this data from us and surveilling the U.S. community, okay?
They so have that's everything.
What, actually, not just U.S., there are in other countries too, Palantir doing their thing, storing data on everyone that is in their countries. But anyway, this is a quote. I just love this stuff. At Palantir, we are on the side of the average American. Okay, I'm glad they came out with that. That is, by the way, a quote from Alex Karp. He's the guy behind Palantir. He's a crazy guy, too. He looks a little like Art Garfunkel. or Frankenstein from the movie, the original movie where his hair is all frizzy. The guy.
What's his name?
Alex Karp. He's the guy who rakes in billions of taxpayer dollars, by the way, to help ICE raid homes, build AI for the Pentagon, and enable predictive policing for cops. This is the crazy stuff. Anyway, I want to move on to this. I think, you know.
I'm looking at a picture.
Yeah, that's him, bro.
Again, get, you know, go to a barber. Come on, you know, just look in the mirror.
He doesn't have to. He's super powerful now. Yeah. All right.
It's
anyway,
$18 billion.
I thought this was kind of interesting too. ICE officials testified in a court that they believe it's okay to arrest people for their political opinions, and that they have orders for the officers to arrest people for their speech. And that was revealed in a court.
What?
Yeah, actually. Yeah, so
okay.
You know, maybe we should ask Jim Santel about that one.
Right?
That came out not too well. Jeez. All right, now let's get to something I was going to ask Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils about, but this is amazing stuff. David Oshinsky, a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian, self-proclaimed anti-communist, an expert on Senator Joseph McCarthy's far-reaching campaign in the 50s to root out alleged communists from American institutions. Mm-hmm. He talked to the Orlando Sentinel about a proposed anti-communist history standard in Florida. This will be in the schools, okay? Under the standards in Florida, which they want to put in place, and it'll be voted on, by the way, next week, students would be required to learn that McCarthyism was an unfair term used to slander all anti-communist efforts.
Okay, really?
I'm not kidding.
Unfair?
Yeah. Okay. And what David Oshinsky said to the newspaper was, if McCarthyism isn't a pejorative, what exactly is? What are we talking about here? Are we going to have people in the classroom saying that he was right? See, this is the kind of crazy stuff that's going on in school. I know. And this is kind of a fun story. According to the Times Now, if passed, House Bill 469 won't recognize your digital partner as a person and won't recognize the marriage either. The U.S. is a country that legally recognizes corporations as persons with the right of free speech, including the right to make unrestricted political donations, right? Okay. So shouldn't human AI wedding vows also be protected as free speech?
What?
Now, these are bills that are going in other states across the country right now. So it's not just, House Bill 469. I can't remember what state that's in, Utah maybe, or something like that. But they're working on trying to make AI or robots unavailable for human... I don't know.
You can't claim them
or something. You can't claim that.
On your taxes or anything.
Yeah. You can't get married to it.
Married to a robot.
But there's more. Utah, and signed in 2024, it prohibits legal personhood in AI, inanimate objects,
right?
Bodies of water. Who tried that? Real property like your house. Get this, atmospheric gases. You certainly don't want personhood for atmospheric gases. Astronomical objects, weather, plants, non-human animals, and any other member of a taxonomic domain that is not a human being.
Who came up with it? What's
this? Is a law in Utah that they passed last year. Yeah. So you can't make personhood out of AI, inanimate objects, bodies of water, atmospheric gases.
They don't have a lot to do in Utah, apparently. They're looking for ways to create
relationships there.
Okay. Wow. All right. It's 29 past the hour.
Imagine the social scene in Utah.
The Mormons and everything. Okay. Yeah. Right around the corner, we've got the Midwest Food and Farm Report. And then Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney from Amicus, a law review, will join us. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court and what's ahead there. Coming up next on WMDX.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy, and Dom at the controls.
Mm-hmm. Weather for today looks just fine. Highs in the mid-50s, but it's a cold start. Downtown Madison, 29 degrees, and seeing some sunshine mixed in with the clouds here on State Street. Time for us to welcome in, as we do every Thursday, Jim Santel, former U.S. Attorney at Law and host of Amicus, a law review, which you can hear on Saturdays from 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning, Jim.
John, Gordy, good to be with you as always. I'm told that I'm here to talk. Dom told me I'm here to talk about pastry, which came up during the oral argument yesterday. So I've got all the donut references you want.
Wait a minute. This came up with the Supreme Court. They were talking pastry?
Yes. It was donut day yesterday.
Yeah.
How did
one of the I'm sure going to lead with this. I know Dom's got this all ready to go. That you've got Brett Kavanaugh, who at some point is quizzing the people who are challenging the president's capacity to do all these tariffs. And Kavanaugh basically asks, well, the statute doesn't make sense if you don't permit the president to do everything you want. It's a little bit more articulate than that. And the Solicitor General of Oregon, who is opposed to these tariffs, says, it's not a donut hole, Mr. Justice. It's a different kind of pastry. And again, the attorney for us, frankly, the Solicitor General, he comes back in his very rapid speed reply down the road and also makes reference to pastry yesterday and the donut holes during the course of the oral argument. So I think it's going to turn on baking. I'm pretty sure the issue is going to turn on baking and sugar and flour, all those kinds of things. Looking forward to it.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds great. Great conversation. Of course, they had incredible conversations yesterday about the ability to create your own tariffs without the help of Congress.
Right.
And no one was on board. No one.
Right. So you've got that fundamental notion. It was James Madison, the Constitution, that said this is an Article I power. That means the Congress is responsible for doing things like taxes and excises and budgets and all those financial things. And the workaround, if you will, from the White House has been something called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act of 1977. I know you folks talk about this on the radio every single week.
We discuss it every time.
You know, the IEEPA. I know it's on your bumper sticker in your car.
Right?
My favorite acronym.
You know?
But tell everybody else what that is.
Sure. So the IEEPA carves out a limited exception in times of, let's say it once again, emergency. Emergency in our situation. Typically, for example, if France were to invade or those kinds of things, where you've got to have the president act very, very quickly, can't wait for the Congress to get around to passing legislation. You can do it. And much of the argument turned on whether or not we really are in an emergency. And as you said, it appears that this could very well be, could be unanimous, could be a 7-2 decision. All the justices, at least in the oral argument, important to put an asterisk next to this, all of them were very hostile toward the president's position. And John Sauer, who is the Solicitor General and really took after him about this notion. We have some concepts called the non-delegation doctrine, the major questions doctrine, got very heady about all those kinds of things. The upshot is just as you said, which is it appears from the takeaway of the nearly 3-hour argument yesterday. I mean, if they had not talked about pastry, they could have shut that down a little bit earlier, probably. Yeah. But 3 hours of argument, it appears that they're set to say, at least on this theory, Mr. President, you can't do it. He does have some other capacities, and they talked about those as well. But this is the one he chose, the IEEPA, and absent the court saying, yes, indeed, we are in a national emergency with respect to trade deficits and even fentanyl coming in, all these things, the president says, I've got to act right now, because the future of the nation is dependent upon it. They were not buying that. And of course, the lower courts, the 2 lower courts, experts in these areas, said exactly that. Long decisions, no basis here in which to do that. And we will see what they will do, not only in terms of their decision. About that, I should say, we have been surprised before. John Sauer, you may recall, you've heard his name before, when the president was arguing as a private citizen about whether or not he should be immune from prosecution, the things he had done in his first term in office. It was John Sauer who argued that presidents are indeed above the law. And everyone thought, well, that's ridiculous. And his arguments were crazy. Turns out John Sauer was successful in getting 6 of them to say, yes, indeed, that's the situation. So don't count this out yet. Mm-hmm. But all the tea leaves indicate that yesterday, the president had a very bad day. Very bad day in the United States Supreme Court.
I just want to bring up, while we're on the subject of pastries and donut holes, you can go shopping at Kohl's. They have joke items that you can pick up for Christmas.
Oh yeah, they have a great
Christmas gift selection.
Yeah,
prank gifts. And there is one called the Donut Hole Holster. Jim, it's a little holster with 2 clips on it that hold your donut holes. It says here, and this is the selling point, snacks as close as your belt. It's for cake, glazed, powder, jelly, and sprinkled. So there you go. It's very flexible donut hole holster that you can attach to your belt.
How nice.
Just a belt clip.
And I think in that one sales item from Kohl's, again, not to endorse or denigrate at all, it codifies pretty much everything that's wrong with America today, right? And that one image, that one sales product. Right. So many things we can talk about. 7 of them come to mind. Too much right now. My brain is overloading.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I know. That was too much to take in. I've got a couple of clips here. Lawrence O'Donnell played a few of these clips from the justices, their comments. Let's listen to Car 36 here. All right.
Donald Trump's lawyer could not refute one word of Neal Katyal's exquisite opening 4 sentences in his brilliant argument today.
Tariffs are taxes. They take dollars from Americans' pockets and deposit them in the U.S. Treasury. Our founders gave that taxing power to Congress alone. Yet here, the president bypassed Congress and imposed one of the largest tax increases in our lifetimes.
Not one word of that was disputed in any way before the Supreme Court today. Chief Justice Roberts said this about the Trump tariffs. Quote, The vehicle is imposition of taxes on Americans, and that has always been the core power of Congress.
I just don't understand this argument. It's not an article. It's a congressional power, not a presidential power to tax. And you want to say tariffs are not taxes, but that's exactly what they are. Degenerating money from American citizens, revenue. And you say it's incidental to the regulatory purpose. But I don't see how a quota is equivalent to revenue raising. A quota sets a limit to what you can import in, but it doesn't generate revenue.
The word regulate is words regulate importation. The word regulate has never been used. It's the Congress has used the term 1,499 times. We got about that number of hits when we looked at it. And maybe there's some double counting, but it is never used even once to impose taxes or revenue raising.
Could the president impose a 50% tariff on gas-powered cars and auto parts to deal with the unusual and extraordinary threat from abroad of climate change?
It's very likely that could be done.
I think that has to be the logic of your view.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point. What we're forgetting here is a very fundamental point, which is the Constitution is structured so that if I'm going to be asked to pay for something as a citizen, that it's through a bill that is generated through Congress and the president has the power to veto it or not. But I'm not going to be taxed unless both houses, the executive and the legislature, have made that choice, correct?
That's exactly right.
There you go.
There it is. And you heard there you heard Elena Kagan.
Yeah.
There at the end, you heard a little bit of Neil Gorsuch. And you heard John Sauer there. He was right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
For once, speaking at a non-breakneck speed during the course of the oral argument. And they basically, that this was the principal focus of it. Virtually all of them saying, this is the taxing authority. This is not, what John Sauer was advocating was, well, this is really something else. And this is, he came up with this concept that this is foreign facing, that because it's foreign facing, that's within the chief executive's power with respect to foreign affairs. And therefore, it is within the president's power to do this. They were not buying that at all and continuing to come back this notion. No, this is a tax. And again, if they stick to that, which again, they have not always in the past, but maybe they will this time. It appears the president's tariffs, at least on this basis, are sunk.
Well, I've got a comment from Trump, and we've got to listen to this. This is cut 37.
All right.
So let's
here we go.
Let's check it out. This is amazing.
We've been successful because of the tariffs. It's given us a great power to negotiate with other countries that took advantage of us. Tremendous power. Also, it's brought in trillions of dollars into our country. We have a big case brought by foreign governments because the foreign governments have been ripping us off for years, and it's now in the Supreme Court. That case is really important to win because it's made us a rich country. It's made us a rich country.
Wow.
Because I don't want to call it retribution, but we've been ripped off.
Trying to rebalance.
We've been ripped off for years by countries and by having presidents that were not smart in a business sense. I'm not saying they were good politicians, but they were stupid businessmen. They allowed the world to rip us off. If we don't, that Supreme Court case is so important. And frankly, this economy, if we win the tariff case, which we should on the legal merits, but on common sense merits, we would have to give back trillions of dollars
to these countries.
What do you
imagine? All those deals.
We would have to give back trillions and trillions of dollars because we got it because of tariffs.
We're going to go broke, Jim. we are going to have to refund a lot of money.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people in the West Wing, the Treasury Department, spending all their days, nights, weekends figuring out how to get all this money back to other countries. The one thing he said that's true in that clip is that, yes, indeed, there's a consequence here. It's a small, putting aside his voodoo economics, which we've talked about in the past. You know, I wish my president at some point would even just listen to somebody out there. This is a lawsuit that is not brought. This is not France and Venezuela. They are not the plaintiffs. This is a toy company in America. These are manufacturers of goods and services here in the United States, Mr. President, who benefit from economics here, not overseas. So again, the lies continue even inside this crazy rant from the president.
And a lot, they're arguing it's taxation without representation. You know, right, it's just, right, just putting it in place, and we're paying it. And a lot of people believe that it's coming from overseas, and it's not a tax on them. It's just stunning. And we've been saying this all along, but no one's listened.
Right. The failure of, again, not only this president, but of an awful lot of folks out there to understand what this is about. Can we not at least agree on the facts? We can have differences of economic opinion, yeah, about whether this is wise or not. Let's have that debate. It should come down the same way. But this notion that you rely once again upon, I'll use the word once again, the L word, the lies that the president tells about all of this, big, small, and in between.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We're going to get to more of what the Supreme Court was talking about yesterday. We've got a couple other cases we'll discuss here with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel when we return on John and Gordy, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Breaking rocks in a hot sun. I'm on the law.
This time, maybe the law will win. It's John and Gordy in the morning, and Dom is playing the music for us.
Mm-hmm. Back with Jim Santel here tomorrow. I want to remind you, tomorrow it'll be Rocker in the studio with a Max Inc. preview because it's Friday. Also, we'll check in with Savannah Tomei Olson on the news of the week, and Pam Yonke will be with us from the Farm Report, talking about agricultural issues. We're back with Jim Santel now. And
yesterday we
a couple other cases.
We played a cut from a reporter down in Chicago who was reporting on the abuses going on in an ICE detention center.
Yeah.
I am trying to think of the town.
Is it Broadview?
Broadview.
Broadview.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And judge is now looking at that case. The lawsuit went to this judge, and the judge was absolutely appalled. Could you tell us a little bit about that, Jim?
Sure. This has been going on for a while now. This is a district court judge named Sarah Ellis, whose name you may recall, because she's been monitoring this for a number of weeks. And she was the one who very notoriously, famously, because of the ways in which things that she was seeing. And again, be clear, all listeners, that this is not a judge whose knee-jerk reaction. She is hearing evidence. She's seeing videotapes being presented by people who are concerned about what's going on in the streets of Chicago. And she is saying, you know what, this is not America, this is not how law enforcement should work. She was the one who said, along with the governor, among others, can we have a suspension of tear gas on Halloween?
Right.
So we're not gassing the 7-year-olds as they're going out trick-or-treating, which may or may not have been followed, which also is the subject now of more analysis here. And so we've got this Border Patrol fellow who is brought in again from the Border Patrol. He is not ICE, but he is plainly allied with ICE, and he has basically been brought in to supervise all of these operations. The judge said, because I'm so concerned about you're violating my orders about tear gas and about body cameras, you're not wearing those, all kinds of things that she'd ordered. She had ordered him to come in, get this, you know, every single night at 6 o'clock. To appear in front of her and report on what you have done during the day. Here's a little tip for you. If a federal judge asks you to come in and report what you've done every day at 6 o'clock, you're doing something wrong, probably, right? Right. So in the end, the Seventh Circuit said that's a little bit too much. But she is continuing to monitor this, and all the reporting you made reference to just now is about the continuing problems of a federal judge saying you have to behave this way. Can you do your job? Absolutely, you can do your job. Law enforcement, right. If there are people who are violating the basic safety and security, you can arrest them and charge them. This is not an insurrection. This is not a rebellion, as we've said in other contexts. But she also said, with respect to basic management of the issue at the detention center, other places, you can't simply be arresting people because they're exercising their First Amendment rights. You got to do things in the ways that American law enforcement has done for decades, if not longer. She's trying to enforce those basic standards. And again, the question is this government, is our government, with the approval of the White House, saying, no, we're not going to do that, Judge. And that's the constitutional crisis on the streets of Chicago that we're seeing around the country.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
It's exhausting. Yeah. It
really
is.
Heavy sigh, right? Right?
No, it's, no, exactly. It's just exhausting. It's really, there's so many things in the courts now that, it's hard to cover everything.
Now, you had one other case, Jim, talking about a judge that told the White House it has to provide ASL, American Sign Language, deaf interpretation in all public briefings. They haven't been doing that, apparently.
And apparently we've had prior administrations that have done that. And again, it's standard practice. When I give speeches, other things, we always have somebody, an ASL interpreter, who's there to ensure that under the Americans with Disabilities Act, people who are deaf or hard of hearing have access to what is being said. Can you imagine a more important forum on the face of the planet, candidly, certainly in America, other than the press room at the White House, right? And so not only for reporters who are there, but also for people who quite literally cannot hear the broadcast as they're being presented. That's just standard practice. And so we've got a group that goes in and says we need to endorse the notion of ADA accessibility. The judge says, yes, indeed. It comes with a modest cost for ASL interpreters, but they're wonderful people who do these tremendous jobs to ensure that we all have access to communication. I've been to theater here in Wisconsin and Madison, other places, where, again, deaf actors and deaf patrons, and you've got ASL interpreters there, American Players Theater, I give a plug for them, Spring Green, they do this routinely. The White House needs to do it as well, and thank goodness a federal district court judge said, yes, Caroline Leavitt, you need to do this. Make it happen.
And then we have another case where Jack Smith would love to be testifying, telling his story.
Former prosecutor.
We have not heard anything about this. Fill us in on this one.
Sure. So what happens, as we recall, my view, a little bit prematurely, the former Department of Justice dismisses the insurrection case right before Donald Trump is inaugurated. The documents case also goes away. And of course, we got no resolution of either one of those major federal cases, criminal cases against the now president. And so people are saying, you know, across the boards, well, gee, you know, what is the resolution of this? One option would be, let's call Jack Smith in, have him testify in front of Congress and tell us about what he was found. That has some peril to it.
Yes.
Jack Smith would be more than happy to come in and tell you what his opening statement and closing argument would have been in those trials of Donald Trump.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be an explosive testimony. Right, absolutely.
Right. Well, Jim, we got to wrap it up there. But, folks, you can listen to Jim Santel with Amicus, a law review every Saturday morning on the Civic Media Radio Network from 9 to 11 a.m. Always a pleasure to have you here on Thursday mornings,
gentlemen.
Jim.
We'll make sure to get you some donuts.
The donut holster.
Gotta get that going. Thanks, Jim.
See you next week.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Tomorrow we'll have Rocker in the studio with a Max Sync preview. Also, Savannah Tomei Olson and Pam Yonke will join us.
And we'll have just a stack of stories we have not had a chance to get to this week.
We're going to get all caught up, yes. Stephanie Miller's next. Have a great day. So long.
As we were saying, it's the John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.